In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to anyways, that sin is rampant in the world. This was no more evident than when the preaching schedule came out. Dr. Patelko mentioned the other day, two readings are given that you might choose from one of those two. I was originally signed to preach on a date in November. One of the texts was Ephesians 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The other was a text out of 1 Timothy 5. I thought, great, I've preached on that Ephesians text before. I've got some notes I can go on. About the time I realized that, Reverend Clems comes bounding up the steps from his office and says, I need to switch with somebody. I'm going to be gone on the day I'm supposed to preach. So I thought was, well, I can't tell him no. I'm going to be gone on the day I'm supposed to preach too. So I said, let me look at the text. And I looked on there, and there was a text from Leviticus 9. And a text from Leviticus 16. And that swapping Ephesians for Leviticus has got to be a result of sin in the world. But sin is also evident in the events profoundly of last Tuesday. Sin is also evident if you read not only our text this morning, but that other text from Leviticus that was given for today. In Leviticus 9, where we hear the story of Nadab and Abihu, it is very much a law text as we read it. Dr. Patelko mentioned such clear law and gospel in his text, and the text we had yesterday by Pastor Meyer was such a wonderful gospel message. But here before us today from Leviticus, we have what appears to be law, and law in its severity. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? They came in and offered profane fire and then were consumed because they came with the wrong motivation. They brought before the Lord a sacrifice that he had not commanded. And to quote Pastor Meyer from yesterday, perhaps they came wagging their tails behind them. They thought they'd been out. They said, Dad can do this. We're his sons. We've been raised in the parsonage. We can do it too. Just watch. But as we see, that didn't work. Wagging their tails of pride didn't cut it. Aren't you glad that pride doesn't get in the way here at Concordia Theological Seminary? Students come with humble hearts. The last thing they want to do is come with an attitude, by golly, I know it all. And I'm going to get through this and show them just how great of a pastor I'm going to be. And staff members, you know, I've done my time. I'm here at the seminary now. That's got to be a step up. And faculty members, I teach. Respect me. No, we don't have any problems in our sinful human nature with pride at all. Law. Boy, does this text put the law before us. Continually throughout here, we read, then he shall, Aaron shall, Moses shall. That's not gospel language, that's law language. You shall do this. We read these words. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come in at simply any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." Very much law. But dear friends, there is also gospel, rich gospel, couched here in this text. Not only are we warned against coming before the Lord with self-serving, egocentric attitudes, but we are showed exactly how, not that it's a step-by-step program, but we're shown exactly how to enter into the presence of our holy God. Through Moses, Aaron receives very specific instructions. Not just to come any time, not just to come in any way, but Moses, through Moses, the Lord tells Aaron this: "Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on." It is through blood and water that Aaron is to approach the mercy seat. Aha! Are you making the connection? As you look at text when you prepare sermons, do you ever find that aha in the text? Here it is. Through blood and water, Aaron is to approach the mercy seat. And again, I ask you, are you beginning to get the picture? We cannot approach the throne of grace through our own merits. Regardless of what we did prior to coming to the seminary, regardless of our occupation then, how good we were at it, how good a student in Bible class we were at church, or regardless of what we're doing now, that in and of itself does not make us worthy to approach the mercy seat. Only by the cross of Calvary are we able to make that approachment. There, Jesus' side was pierced. And from that side flowed blood and water. That water flowed to the font. That font where we were washed and made clean, where that washing of regeneration cleansed us from our sin and continues to cleanse us through daily contrition and repentance. And that blood flowed to the chalice. That chalice which we partook of yesterday. That blood that makes our sin, though it be as scarlet, to be as white as snow. Then, and only then, are we able to come before our holy and righteous God. St. Paul once lamented, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And elsewhere he lamented, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But through this lament, he found that peace that passes all understanding, declaring by the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So like St. Paul, like Moses and Aaron, like those who have gone before us in the faith, we too can pray with the psalmist, O Lord, open thou my lips, then my mouth shall show forth thy praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.